What a day to praise and worship our Lord and to honor mamas and those who provide mothering ways among us. May God's Spirit be upon us this morning. May we accept being gathered in God's name and receive graciously all that God in Jesus offers to us now. May we each experience God's boundless love for each of us, thanking God for placing us within this faith family this morning. And may no matter what, no matter how hard the world is in and around your world, your own lives, may this time, this place be a place of peace, love, mercy, hope, and being held in the palm of God's hand. Jesus welcomes all, and so do we. Welcome. Let's celebrate our Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, biological, spiritual, and adoptive mamas. We thank God for each one, and may they be blessed and receive what they need in their own hearts of mothering. As part of the body tabernacle, please be curious and look at the back of your bulletin to discover possibilities of worship beyond this day through mission and ministries and fellowship, Bible study, and community service. I call forward first Sydney Ladd. I shocked her. Oh, you want to? Okay, can you say it loud? Okay. Oh, she's going over there. Oh, here. All right.
Night and Friday night, my choirs performed at state finals. Both choirs out of 156 choirs are seventh in the state.
Wow. Woo! And we pray our praise, O Lord. Hear our praise. Sisters in Christ will have their pitch-in at 6:30 tomorrow evening in Fellowship Hall. Kappa Kappa Sigma will be meeting in the church library tomorrow at 7 p.m. Wednesday community dinner will serve dinner, and look forward to any of you that would like to come and just sit and talk, or sit and talk and eat, or come and help. All are welcome. There will be a cabinet meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the church library. There is a senior movie series, and that, I guess that's not seniors in high school. Thursday, May 12th at ArtCraft, go and see The Wizard of Oz. There will be our last choir practice. They go on sabbatical during the summer months. This last Thursday, 7 p.m., this next Thursday, will be their last one for a while. And next Sunday, May 15th, will be a celebration of Pentecost, the birthday of the Church Universal that includes us. This is when God equips the church with the power of God's Spirit so that we may go out and glorify God in the proclaiming of His Word and in showing the love of Jesus Christ. And so we will celebrate that next week. And please, all are invited, children, adults, and children and teens are invited to bring a cake. You may decorate it yourself if you want to, but bring a cake for that birthday of the church. And also, we're going to celebrate Elizabeth Crowder, who for 5 years has served God by taking care of our babies, our children in the nursery. She goes on to work with children of families who are deployed. And so we wish her well, and we want to celebrate her and all the time that she has given here. And so that will be a celebration after church next week. And then I want to raise up and identify Jane Kite, who is a friend. I'm told she was a member here, longtime member, sang in the choir. Now lives in California. I guess she doesn't want to travel back and forth every week, but okay, that's fine. We'll welcome you anyway. And we just welcome you right now. We thank you for being here. And then Marilyn Trout. Where are you, Marilyn? Where is she? Oh, she's here. Where's your son? Oh, well, her son is coming. I'm sure he is. And we will recognize him and all sons and daughters who are here to celebrate and honor their mamas. And so let's applaud all who are here. If there are any other announcements that you would like for me to make, please lift them up now. Yes, Dave. Wow.
Inside. And then if you plan to eat at Bob Evans beginning tomorrow through Saturday, if you take one of these flyers or pull up an e-flyer, 15% will go to Kick It. So I'll put these back on the table here.
We just ate there yesterday. Does that count? No.
Sorry. It's not retroactive.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right. On your bulletin, there is a call to worship of God. If you will look at that and stand, our worship leader, Deb will lead us in that.
Let us now praise mothers and all who are mothers of mothers. In the name of God, we give thanks for the creation of mothering souls.
May mercy and peace accompany you and follow you all the way home.
For all the mothers who bring to birth and contribute to God's creation, for young mothers and long-lived mothers, first-time mothers and experienced mothers,
for adoptive mothers and spiritual mothers, and all whose love is like that of mothers,
all who give birth to ideas or music, artistic works, or any creation that helps them think and feel like mothers, whose creativity brings to birth in others, may God's comfort accompany and follow you all the way home. May God, who is love, bless all our mothers. May their spirit inspire forever.
Number 14, Womb of Life and Source of Being, verses 1 and 4, we will prepare our hearts to worship our Lord. Let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Voice is good.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
This reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, who I worship, with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. The next reading is from Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
And I ask you guys to play with it all week or set it on your shelf. And every time you looked at it, I wanted you to think of some of God's treasures that he has given you. And one of them we discussed was our mothers, right? That's one of God's biggest gifts. So what I want you to do now, we made these signs. So everybody take a letter and see how fast you can spell mother up here. All right, let's go. Take a letter and stand up and spell it. How do we spell it? Okay, Addie's got the M. All right. You're almost there. You're doing it. Yeah, O goes over here. M-O. Now what? M-O-T. H-E, all right, hold them up so we can see them. All right, and on the count of three, I want you to say, we love you, Mom, all right? One, two, three. We love you, Mom. Oh, you can do better than that. One, two, three.
We love
you, Mom. All right, and we're going to pass out some flowers for Mother's Day.
While they are passing out the flowers, I have two things I will be reading about mamas. It's a poem by Dorothy Hillard, is the first one. It's called The Bridge. The way I walk, I see my mother walking, my feet secure and firm upon the ground. The way I talk, I hear my children talking and hear my mother's echo in the sound. The way she thought, I find myself now thinking, the generations linking in a firm continuum of mind. The bridge of immortality I'm walking, the voice before me echoing behind. Our world needs to see God. And what if moms are giving the world a glimpse, whether they know it or not? What if the world can see God uniquely through moms, but it is not easy for them to see the real impact they have in this world? What if there is nothing ordinary about being a mom? When they comfort, they display a God who comforts. When they protect, they show us a God who provides protection. They are showing the world a portrait of God as they love, listen, worship, counsel, hold, carry, support, feed and dance, play, work, teach, and pray. And as they do these things, they do so much more than they realize. They are showing the world a portrait of God, not in a perfection way, but in a profound desire to love well their children. Moms clothe and feed and protect and comfort and guide and provide discipline. But more than anything, moms love. Sounds a lot like Him, our precious Lord, doesn't it? Who clothes us in righteousness, who feeds us with His word, protects by His right hand, comforts in all our troubles, guides us in the truth, loves with salvation. And by His design, we can see the beauty of God through the beauty of a mother. We honor and give respect and recognition to the God in you. Thank you so much. And the God who created each one to nurture, take care of, and protect. Happy Mother's Day again. From the Gospel of Luke, I read, "How often I have yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. It is a time that we prepare to go to our Lord in solemn, devoted prayer. We share our joys among us so that they might be multiplied. And we share our concerns and our sorrows and our worries among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be divided and the burden be lightened from carrying them by ourselves. I lift up first, again, Bob Wood's brother in prayers for completion of his healing. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Tim White, who will have an outpatient surgery this Tuesday. Please keep him in your prayers during Tuesday day as he goes through that procedure. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Savannah Kellums. She turned 16 this last week. So when you see her, you wish her a happy birthday and let her know that we recognize that she is now official in her teen years, because I guess that was a big deal for her, as it is for many of us. And so we lift her up to the Lord in praise, and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. Tori Huffman, Mike and Christy's daughter, graduated from University of Indianapolis with a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing yesterday. Beautiful young woman, very smart, and already will be at Eskenazi, has already been working there. And so we lift her up in praise, and we pray to the Lord, oh Lord, hear our praise. Please hold that family, particularly Christy Huffman, in your prayers. Her uncle, Bill Bless, was a longtime coach there, long before it was U of I. And he has the greatest winning record of any coach. And so it was a sweet, bittersweet moment yesterday as they sat in the bleachers where she watched so many games that he coached and then watched her daughter graduate yesterday. He passed away on Friday. So we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you have? And then I will add more. No? Okay. We lift up the Wideners, Terry and Bruce. They have a dear friend we've been praying for, Mark Davis. He lives out of state, and this next weekend they will go and visit him. Their hearts are broken. He has a diagnosis of cancer. They, for years and years, they've lived apart in different parts of the country, but they have come together for family events and for vacations. So they're going to go out and visit with him next week. Keep them in your prayers for travel, and keep their friend Mark Davis in your prayers for healing and good treatment. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Continue to pray for the healing for Tucker Harris, who is home now, send a prayer of praise for that and continued healing. So let's pray to the Lord. Oh, Lord, hear our praise. We pray for Ruth Heminger's cousin, David Meyer, with stomach cancer, and we lift him up to the Lord and all the family that is concerned about him, and we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the joy for Homebound, who rejoice many times when I go and visit, particularly this time of the year, with the green and the flowers that are blooming. And so we just pray great joy for them. And I just pray that sometimes if you have an opportunity that you go and visit and take a prayer or two with you. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for those that need a known presence of God, especially those that do not believe that they need the known presence of God. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the men and women who protect and serve, and we pray this as a thanksgiving. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you would like to lift up? Okay, let's bow our hearts and kneel our minds before our Lord. O God of grace and creation, we thank you for all that you have given us through the loving care and hard work of our mothers. We pray for your richest blessing upon mothers throughout the world, for those with difficult homes whose children are broken. Bless them with mercy and healing, and heal the heart of their mother. On those who find themselves raising children by themselves, bless them with courage and your known strength and presence. We pray richest blessing on all mothers, for those with loved ones far away, and those who find a loneliness deep inside. Bless them with mothering from neighbors, friends, and faith families. And for those that find it difficult to make ends meet or who go without themselves for the sake of their families, fill them, precious Lord, with the knowing of your pleasure and your smile upon them. For those that are nearly at the end of their rope, for those that are trying to make Christ real to their families, give richest blessings, we pray. For those who do not know Jesus, nor how to cast their cares on him, richest blessing of hope, discovery, and the knowing of his nearness. For each one, according to her need, hear our prayer and draw all mothers closer to you today, right now, in this very moment. We thank you, Lord, this day for all mothers who seek to do their best for their children. And when they fail, when we stumble, we ask for your forgiveness. For when we could have done better, spoke with kinder, gentler words, listened deeper as you listen to us. Oh, merciful God, we pray, bless us with forgiveness. We thank you, God, who created mothering. We thank you for their care, patience, love in childhood's earliest days, for the prayers they prayed and offered on our behalf, the counsel they gave, the example they set. We bring our praise now to you, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God, who is infinite love, who created us to be of the kindness, mercy, and faith of the good and faithful Mama, we come now into this time of offering, a time when we are called by God and Jesus to give according to his goodness for God's will and purpose for the life faith family that we are part of. Let us share from what we know of the love of Christ.
When she prays, she's a prayer warrior. Down on her knees, wrestling with powers and principalities, standing in the gap for others, for her sister and her brother. Heaven with her heart, prayer warrior. We don't see her lonely nights of intercession, or the tears she sheds with every whispered prayer. We may never see the secrets hidden in her heart, but the eyes of God are watching her with care. She's a prayer warrior, down on her knees, wrestling with powers and princes. Reaching heaven with her heart, and we never fully know the deadly old world, or the many rules that we've been saved.
We thank you for the gifts that they may provide. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jenna found herself sort of stuck here. She's going to teach for a while. The teens are going to teach, and there will be a parent in the room with them, or someone, an adult in the room with them, but they will be the teachers this summer, and so I want you to encourage them to do that. It's a great time for them, and it's a great time for those that will receive that teaching. And so we give blessing to her as she goes. Autumn is doing that also. I think Sydney's going to teach, and there will be others. And I hope that our baptism, the group of baptism kids will also do some teaching. And so let's say that word of prayer for them. Take a big deep breath and breathe in the breath and renewing Spirit of God. And just let go of everything that's outside of these doors. We're only going to be here a short period of time. So let's get rid of all that is harming or harmful to us for right now. And let's listen to this word that hopefully is a message of God. Even if they're my words, may I be removed out of it. And may you be blessed with knowing what God is speaking to your heart. So let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and tender God, we give you thanks for mothers and for fathers and for those that step in sometimes to fill that role. When we speak this morning of scripture of mothers and grandmothers, we are speaking about all who have been faithful, who have walked a journey with us. And so we give you thanks, and we ask blessings on these words. May it be your message. Empty me of me and fill me with your Spirit and fill the hearts of your people. It is in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray and ask these things. Amen. The world needs to see God. Now, I know for those of us in this room, that is not a shocking statement. But the world needs to see God desperately. Many years ago, a wise friend of mine gave me a name for human love. She called it stirring the oatmeal love. I bet you wondered if you saw that on there, if you pay any attention to the title of the sermon. How scriptural can stirring the oatmeal be? We'll see, won't we? But it symbolizes a relatedness of bringing love to the ordinary, bringing love into the everyday to be able to see God here on earth. When our mama passed away, there were things that my sister and others in the family wanted from her meager belongings. But the only thing that I wanted was one small yellow crock bowl. You see, my mother had always gotten up early to make oatmeal for me when it was cold. And I would come into the kitchen, a little bitty kitchen, and she'd have the oven door open and let that heat come into the room. And I'd get up and sit with my feet up on the chair and put my gown over my legs to get warm as she stirred the oatmeal. And she did it with such love and tender care. For people who prepare instant, they don't know the joy of that and how beautiful that can be. But she did it in a circular way, a figure eight way, almost an alpha and omega way, to keep it from burning and to keep lumps from forming in that act, that gift of love. She would then ladle it into that little bowl, and I would sit and eat, and there were things that we did each morning. We prayed. We read scripture, because when I went to church, you had to memorize scripture, so it was on my placemat every morning. And we would sit and talk about the day. We would talk about my anguish or my joy or whatever it was that I wanted to talk about, and then she would send me out. You see, this was seeing God in the ordinary. My mother was not well educated. My mother had not gone on vacations or had things, a lot of things, but she did love well. And she was wise beyond anything I ever knew. But God is always calling us, directing us from the past, walking us here through this present toward the future, giving us a place rooted and grounded in love, caring, and hope. His words fill us with remembering of his extraordinary care and tending from a place of love in history, in the now, and in the forevermore. What a wonderful thing on this day when we honor mamas, they who are brave with perfect intent, even when we fail miserably. And that doesn't mean that we have a bad turnout in our children. There's not a mother that sits here that doesn't think I could have done it better. And a professor of mine in counseling once said, you only have to do it good enough. Kind of makes you squirm in your chair, doesn't it? Jesus' words fill us with that remembering. And we then say, or believe, as I believe, that no woman ever holds for the first time her child and says, I won't do the best for this one. No mama ever does that. There are those of us who experience mothering in tender ways, not perfect, but authentically kind. There are those moms with patience and weariness and joy and headache at the end of a very long day who are sought out by every child in their family and their spouse in that circle of love. The youngest is hungry and wants to eat. The teens want to tell her about their joys and their struggles that they've lived that day. The boss wants one more email sent, and their spouse wants a quiet moment to share about the living of their day. But there are also those among us who experienced mothering in harsh and unkind ways, even neglectful ways, memories that haunt them now in their lives or in their parenting. There are those of us that love and revere our mothers regardless of how fully or incompletely they cared for us. For this is true. There are those parents in our lives who did not give us all we needed or wanted, but they gave us the very best that they had to give. Maybe all they had to give. I also know that my mother set the sun, the moon, and the stars for me. She was not healthy in the last 20 years of her life and died when I was 33. I've shared that before. But she created a legacy and a sound foundation for love and nurturing of God in Jesus and others for the rest of my life. My mothering from that point on came from other women. I looked for her gracious way of forgiveness, her profound kindness, her abundant love, and her joy-filled way of living. No, she was not perfect, but she sounds pretty good, doesn't she? I found these qualities and other characteristics in multiple women in my life. Love and tenderness and understanding from my mother-in-law and my sisters-in-law, and a work colleague who was and is an amazing mother. All created for me the whole of my mother, deeply missed, each providing some aspect, filling some need of the mother that left way too soon to return home to God. We find that the stories of mothering women in the Bible are woven together so closely that they are almost inseparable. Many stories teaching us through mother-daughter or mother-son relationships. In fact, intertwined then in love. But possibly we know more about their relationship than we do about them as individuals. So I think that God sends us messages to learn. I believe it is not by chance that these relationship roles are revealed multiple times in Holy Scripture from beginning to end. For we do not thrive and flourish When we are isolated and lonely without people, those that, according to the dictionary that defines mother, look after, care for, or protect and tend us, growing our spirit of nurture, a definition of mother. Naomi and Ruth. You probably can't see that picture over there. I discovered it and paid a dollar for it at the last church. They had a sale. And I think it looked to me like Naomi and Ruth, but maybe it's not. But I liked it because I love their relationship. They are Old Testament women. And they are beautiful examples of blending life together. Their cultures and their family backgrounds and ages are so very different. They wore different styles of clothing, spoke with different accents, ate different foods. As a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, they probably had as many opportunities for disagreements as they did for kindness. And yet, they were bound together to each other, as my mother-in-law and I are, heart to heart, soul to soul. They shared deep sorrow and great affection for each other and an overriding commitment to the God of Israel. Both are rejected and alone. Naomi, alone after the death of her husband and her two children. Ruth, a foreign widow in a clannish culture. And yet, as much as they depended on each other, they also gave each other freedom in their commitment to one another. Mother-in-law Naomi was willing to let daughter-in-law Ruth return to her family. Ruth was willing to leave her homeland to go to Israel to live with Naomi. And Naomi even helped arrange a marriage with Boaz, although it would change their relationship forever. God was at the center of this intimate communication. Ruth came to know the God of Israel through Naomi. The older woman allowed Ruth to see, hear, feel, experience all the joy and the anguish in Naomi's relationship with God. Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." I believe this love and trust was born out of Naomi's authentic sharing of her entire relationship with God, the joys and her struggles with God. So I pose these two questions. How often do you feel that your thoughts and questions about God should be left out of a close relationship? How often do you share your unedited thoughts about God with your spouse, your best friend, your friends, your acquaintances? Sharing openly about our relationship with God can give depth to the relationship. It is, however, a learned behavior. It's outside of our comfort zone to stand in line with someone who is suffering or expressing great joy and to just start spouting scripture to them. But we can show them love, and we can be mothering, and we can reveal to them how God has worked in our own lives as an act of faith in God. In those teachings that arise from this mother-daughter relationship, we hear the echo from behind in Proverbs 31. Strength and dignity are her clothing, desired qualities for us all that we see in both of these women. And we seek the generations linking in the continuum of mind from the New Testament text from Philippians. Summing it all up, friends, this is from the Message. I'll say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. These things are positive thoughts that lead to positive behaviors. And the negative that we leave out with each one of these, not seeking it in perfection, but in desire and intent, will make our lives full and abundant as our Lord wants for us. So we can see God in our ordinary lives. Naomi and Ruth revealed these qualities of mothering, not perfection. They did these things in some aspect of life, in some moment in time, in the living of their days. Not perfection, not all the time, but they sought it. In the relationship, in their relationship, their grandest bond was with God, a mutual faith in God, in which each person tried to do what was best for the other. So even if our mothers sometimes failed at most of this, it does not give us permission to fail in the same way. Our God has provided a book of life, a loving Savior, a Holy Spirit, for mothers and for all. You see, we're given choice. It is planted within us. And we can choose for our children and grandchildren to behave in different ways that we know can be improved. We can, through study of Scripture and in relationships with the spouses and children and Christian friends, seek to be the women of authentic love. I'm not saying you're not loving authentically. I'm saying that we're hoping and praying for the best for others, and that we keep that at the forefront. For if we always do what we and our mothers have always done, thought and believed in a negative way, we will continue not to be closer to who God made us to be as mothers and in all roles blessed to us by God. May we also be mothers and grandmothers like Eunice and Lois, living out what Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter. He wrote, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." That's why we read the text about Deuteronomy. It was actually the Israelites' first commandment, Deuteronomy 6. And so this commandment is, it sounds like we can't lay down, we can't stand up, we can't go right, we can't go left, we can't do things without the whole of us worshiping God. Well, it's true. We seek to do that. It is our commandment also. These women, among others in Scriptures, were part of passing that mantle of faith on. The way they walk their faith, talk their faith, and think in faith influenced Timothy to become Paul's companion, entrusted companion, and a beloved, faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, spreading the good news even at a youthful age. May we live in faithfulness to God, as did Naomi and Ruth, Eunice and Lois, and many, many men and women of all the ages, knowing that there is a God significance for our lives that will extend beyond our lifetimes. We are called to flourish such love through our looking after, caring for, and tending others, through seeing God in the world, for faith-filled teaching, living loved and loving, for helping others to see and live in the presence of God. Or as a mothering presence, be remembered as kind and inspiring, studiers of the word and praising, God praising of mothers and grandmothers, great women and men of faith. Amen. Amen. We come to a time now where we invite you, an exciting invitation. When I first came, I talked about an invitation by a friend to another mutual friend. It wasn't a mutual friend of mine, it was her friend, to go to a Super Bowl party. And Steve and I called early to see what I was to bring, the person who was giving the party, and she didn't have a clue as to who I was and was very rude and said, "Well, I guess you can come." That's not what this invitation is. You are invited. If you've been urged by the Spirit of God during this time or have felt that urging in your life, that you would like to unite and faithfully follow Jesus with the people here at Tabernacle, you won't find more loving, more kind, more gracious, more mothering people, mothering and fathering people, but you fathers will have to wait until Father's Day for that. But please come. During the singing of our invitation hymn, because we will welcome you with open hearts, open minds, and we just would love to have you be with us and to flourish and grow in depth of our knowing of our Lord. We will sing hymn number 420, verses 1, 4, and 5. No, wait. I gave you the wrong number. 599, day by day, okay? If you will stand, we will sing the correct hymn, number 599, and we're going to sing, let's sing it through twice. You may be seated. For those of you that are old enough, that was written in the 70s by hippies. I'm sure it was by hippies. Some of you don't even know what hippies are. That's okay. That's all right. Jesus is the host of this table. He is the one who invites all to share in Holy Communion. Jesus willingly laid down his life for each one of us, all of us. Jesus is the one who calls the tired mamas and the worried papas and the little children too to come and be fed with a cup of mercy and the bread of life. Then we will, in forgiveness and mercy with restored souls, be ready to be a mothering presence to the vulnerable, the shunned, the hardened, and the joy-filled. Let us share what God gives abundantly as he pours out his mercy and his forgiveness upon us. Let us prepare our hearts and our souls to receive the cup and the bread by singing hymn number 420, verses 1, 4, and 5. I come with joy.
Thank you. come to you today with thanksgiving for so much blessing. We especially today remember our mothers and our grandmothers and those before them, who raised us and loved us unconditionally as your Son, Jesus Christ, did for each of us. As we partake of this bread, Lord, may you remember the birth of the life that was given for us, so that we might endure peace, love, and support. Thank you.
gathered his disciples together. He took bread. He gave thanks for it.
He broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he returns. We are about to go out into the world, and some will celebrate with their mothers. And as Susie said, there are some of us, our mothers are long gone, but we will be with other mothers, and we will be with other women and men who will mother us. And we are mothers ourselves now and grandmothers. So I just ask to be able to bless you after this time of singing and sending forth. And it seemed appropriate that we would sing, "Go, My Children, with My Blessing," because we are certainly children of God. So if you will stand, and we will sing hymn number 431, "Go, My Children, with My Blessing." I don't know if I can bless you any more than that song, but I will give it a try. If you will bow your hearts before your Lord, I will bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit of God empower you and follow you all the way home. May all mothers be blessed. May their spirit inspire us. May we reach out to those in need in nurturing and loving ways, feeding the world with the seen God in Jesus. For we all desperately need to see Jesus now and forevermore. Jesus will walk you all the way home. You are well loved. Go in peace.